All right. Well, there's some music. Maybe that's not the normal music, but that's the music that we had for today because one of Robert's favorite songs, and I picked it just for him. Well,
really,
here we are once again to do an area fishing report for you. We've got Captain Josh the Fish Coach sitting over here where I'm talking from, and then sitting over there where he's talking from, Mr. Robert Lukowitz, the manager here at Fish and Frank's. It is approximately 1 p.m., April the 7th, 2022, and it's time to do our weekly fishing report. So, without any further ado, Robert, how you feeling today?
Aggravated.
Okay, that should make for a great fishing report.
It should.
All right. Nothing like an irritated Robert to burn through this thing quick. So, with that in mind, we're just going to go ahead and get started. Starting up on the Peace River area, Harbor Heights Park, San Susi Trestle, and assorted nearby spots. What have we heard?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. That's why it's going to be quick. No. It's honestly been really slow up there. Even with all the wind, there's been a lot of people up there fishing it, and there's just not any real activity to speak of.
So we have people going up there, so it's not for lack of people trying.
Right. I've heard of like two little snook, one big snook. That is it. The entire week, it's been very, very slow.
That's not great.
No.
Okay.
But it's unbelievably hot right now, so what do you expect?
It did get warm.
It was nice and toasty this morning at 4:30.
Well, that 100% humidity had something to do with it, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's slide our way down a little bit to the Darce Park Boat Ramp and I-75 Bridges area.
There's been a couple of snook there, a couple of juvenile tarpon, and a couple of redfish on that north end. But even there, it's been pretty slow because that was a report from one and only person that gave me a report from there.
Ooh.
And he didn't hook any of the tarpon. He just saw some juvies rolling around up there.
Now, when you're fishing up there and targeting those redfish at the north end, are you fishing the pilings? What are you doing and how are you fishing it?
No, they're fishing the bushes mostly and the, what is that, the sawgrass that's up there.
Mm-hmm.
They're just fishing right up against the shoreline with bait, either cut bait or shrimp. You catch one off the pilings once in a while, but that's very seldom. But that's how it works up there.
Okay.
That's where I see a lot of little juvenile tarpon a lot of times. That's where I caught my smallest tarpon ever was actually there.
No?
Yeah, it was probably maybe 5 pounds.
How cute.
Yeah, a little guy.
Adorable.
But it was pretty cute and awesome, so I was okay with it.
All right, how about the 41 Bridges Power Pole Park area?
Been a few snapper, mangroves, a few sheep's head, and a couple of trout during the daytime. But at night, there was one big cobia caught there the other night. Several nice-sized snook, been some tarpon rolling, and a few bull sharks. And the very occasional cobia in general across the board, day or night, but is it consistent on those? No, but is it a great bycatch? Right.
Right. So if you're going up there, you'd be probably going at nighttime.
Definitely.
Okay.
That would be my first choice.
And are we fishing natural baits down with the current or what? How are we catching those fish?
I throw a lot of artificials there. I like throwing bigger swim baits and working those shadow lines. It's much more productive. For me, anyway, targeting those snook and tarpon. That's what I like catching better over there.
Okay. And how about the cobia? You think they'll eat that swim bait?
In a heartbeat. That's actually what that kid that caught that big cobia the other night, he was actually fishing for snook and tarpon and hooked, I don't know, it was probably a 40-inch cobia. Good size.
Yeah, nothing to sneeze at.
No, not at all. It's pretty cool.
All right,
and
how
catching
about...
Catching a cobia at night's always awesome because it just doesn't happen that often.
Naturally. How about the Lashley Pier?
There's been a couple of small trout and some very, very small mangrove snapper. Hmm. Nothing special.
That sounds boring.
It does. In another month, the little sharks will start to move in and that'll get a little bit better for them, theoretically.
Theoretically.
Maybe.
Potentially.
Possibly.
We'll see. You know, making predictions like that is dangerous. We've done that before and both been burned. All right.
That's why you always finish it off with a theoretically.
Maybe. Could be. Could be not.
Mm-hmm.
Might be. I just don't know what I'm talking about because I'm not a fish.
Nope.
Bayshore Piers.
I got nothing there. Nothing at all. The wind's been blowing right into both those places for the last several days, so a lot of people have not even gone out there. When you got 2 foot white caps bouncing off the bottom of it, it's makes it a little tricky to fish.
Gotcha. Okay.
Especially today, I'll bet you it's like that day that we went out there. Not quite that bad, but I guarantee you it's pretty sporty out there on them right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been out there some days where you do have those white caps, and I mean, that pier is not super close to the water. You're up off it a little ways, but still, you can get wet out mm-hmm. there, and it does make it really hard to fish.
It does.
Especially if you want to get down to the end and then cast off the end.
Yeah.
You know, you get that wind blowing back up towards you, and that wave action just wants to bring your bait right back up to the pier. It's not great.
Yeah, 4 ounce pyramid sinker, and you still only cast 50 feet.
Yeah. Moving into the canals of Port Charlotte and the Port Charlotte Beach area.
Been some small snook, a couple juvenile tarpon, depending on which canal you're in, because they're moving around a lot. A few black drum. Let's see, some jacks have been coming through sporadically. A lot of people are freaking out about the sharks in there, quote unquote, and they're actually a lot of cow nose rays.
I see.
You know, they've caught a few bulls in there this past week, but...
But if you see shark fins at the surface...
Yeah. Yeah, plus people are seeing big wakes coming down their canal and not seeing anything other than big wakes pushing, usually several of them. Most of those are cow nose rays. We're seeing them every night. So I'm sure they're seeing them throughout the daytime, too. That's just them getting into their little spawning pattern.
Doing what they're supposed to do.
Yes.
I like cow nose rays.
They're super cool. I still like spotted eagle rays better.
Well, of course. Spotted eagle rays have spots. Put spots on a cow nose ray and you'd probably like that.
Probably.
Got any paint?
Nope.
LJ
That'd be
Bean.
Kind of fun, though.
Yeah. Saw a whole school of spotted eagle rays.
Put some stripes on it just for giggles.
Uh-huh.
See who notices that.
What kind of... Well, you know, we probably have some leftover Easter egg dye.
Yeah.
From last year. I'm not going to use that this year. I'm going to get the new pack.
Oh, so. Wow. Because the old stuff from last year goes bad, huh?
Well, it's out of fashion now. Wrong colors.
Oh,
no longer trendy.
Okay.
We're using glitter this year.
Nice.
El Jabin Pier and Boat Ramp.
Wow. There's been some snook there at night. Some juvenile tarpon during
at
the
night or during the day?
All at night.
Okay.
And then the daytime has been some mangrove snapper, couple trout, couple black drum, and then a couple of very small jacks. And one guy did catch a little Spanish mackerel off there the other day, but one.
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 Yeah. You know, they do get up there, but they don't get up there a lot.
No. No, usually you got to be in the boat and go down a little bit closer to the mouth.
Okay.
But it can still be a fun place to fish. It's my favorite place to fish at night, personally.
You reckon there's any chance for a sheep's head up there still?
I've not heard of any sheep's head. Matter of fact, I've heard very few reports of sheep's head, period, across the board this week. They are thinning out at an alarming rate.
Well, it would be alarming if it weren't, you know, April.
Yeah, exactly.
Sliding down the Myakka towards the cutoff cattle dock point, tippy canoe and the 14-foot hole.
Oh, let's see. There's been redfish at cattle dock point. There's been some snook and a few redfish over in the Myakka cutoff. And then a couple of jacks also in the cutoff. Other than that, that's all I got. Nothing over in the 14-foot hole. None of that stuff.
Okay, and if we're going to go fish the cutoff, We're fishing the bushes, obviously.
Yeah.
Still doing better with dead bait sitting on the bottom, or does it switch over to live?
For the redfish, you're better off with the dead bait. If you want snook, maybe a redfish and jacks, live bait, whether it's shrimp or white bait. You know, if you really, really, truly want a redfish, crabs.
Crabs.
Blue crabs is definitely the best thing.
Nice half a big old stinky blue crab.
Yep.
With no legs, laying down there on the bottom.
Got his legs off, peel the shell off.
Just waiting to get ate.
Mm-hmm. Put it inside a pantyhose. No.
I was going to say, that is an interesting technique. It's old catfish technique.
Mm-hmm.
You could do it.
You could do it.
How about the South Gulf Cove canals?
Got zero, nothing, nada.
Okay, so we will copy last week's report, which says no reports. Please call the shop with reports if you have any.
There you go. That works.
Okay.
That makes that quicker and easier.
Yep. Taking it down, going to the west wall, looking at the creeks also, blow down oyster trout and all the little creek mouths that don't got no names. What's going on down there?
Today would be a lousy day. The next several days would be pretty lousy there. But prior to that, a lot of snook, a few redfish, all along the bushes and the mouths of those creeks. Most of those are being caught on white bait or cut bait, both the snook and the redfish. And then if you move on top of the bar, there's been a few cobia, a few pompano, and some tarpon laid up along the bar on the outside of the bar pretty consistently. Oh, it's not too bad.
Bigger tarpon, or are these...
Bigger tarpon.
Okay.
100-pounders, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting.
But are they eating anything?
Nope.
Jerks.
It's kind of like that. What is that? Chief Dan George. It's a little rock candy. It's good for looking through, but not any good for eating. It's good to look at them, but good luck getting them to eat.
Now,
you probably don't even know that movie, do you?
I don't. If you're going to try, though, what are we going to try to feed them?
A bait buster, a jerk bait. I personally would take out some shrimp, like a select if you can get them, and try that. You know, basically everything in your tackle box.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Because I tried small, I tried big, I tried shrimp, and nope. Nothing.
Jerks.
Yes. Yeah, yes, they are.
But it's typical for this time of the year that we see those fish when they first show up. A lot of times they're just not really in an eating mood.
Right.
So, you know, nothing's new here.
Nope.
Might be new to you. But, yeah. You know, they've been frustrating people in those same places at the same time of year. For generations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least 100 years.
Well. All right. Let's head on south. Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay.
There's been some bonnet heads out there on Cape Hayes.
On the bar itself?
Yeah. Spanish mackerel, some ladyfish, a couple of jacks. Heard of a couple small trout. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. Didn't hear of anything inside Muddy Bay, but that place is either good or really lousy. I've only heard one story ever that sounded like it was great. But still a good area to fish. That's where I'd be probably concentrating my efforts on, is down around that Cape Hayes area, Turtle Bay area.
Gotcha. Doki. Speaking of Turtle Bay,
hey.
Moving up into Turtle Bull and Gallagher's Cut.
A lot of snook, fair number of redfish, an assortment of trout, but mostly small. Been a few sharks up inside there, a couple of lemons, a couple of small bulls. One guy actually had a really good picture of a little black tip that he got in there. It's about 3 foot.
Was it lost?
I don't know, but I was impressed because his picture was actually very visible enough for me to go, yep, that's definitely a black tip, not a baby bull.
And how big are we seeing lemons and bulls?
4 to 6 feet. Not too bad of sizes.
Okay.
Not too bad at all.
Are they eating people's fish yet?
Tarpon wise? Yeah, there's been a few.
No, I mean I'm hearing more and more about snook anglers, trout anglers complaining about getting sharked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been happening every now and then. It's been happening in the Port Trout and PGI canals too. So it happens when you take away all of their food source. Or a majority of it anyway.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Trout, of course, on the grass. And the snook and the redfish mostly underneath the trees, not so much in the open, I assume?
Right. They've gotten a couple of redfish out in the open, but they were extremely large fish, and they were actually by themselves. So not really sure what that's about.
Okay. That is kind of odd.
It is. I would expect them to be at least several around, but the couple I heard of in there were shorts or singles.
Okay. Maybe they're just trying to start up some schooling action.
Uh-huh.
They're like, look, I can swim out here and it's fine.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Come on. Come out here.
Let's go hang
out
over here.
Show a little backbone. Come out here.
We're going to eat sea urchins now.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
All right. Taking it out a little deeper, sliding out to Cape Hayes and Danger Reefs. Gotta be some mackerel out there.
Lots of Spanish mackerel out there. A lot of Spanish. Been a couple of sharks of assorted sizes, mostly bulls. Guy did catch a couple of cobia off a Danger Reef. They were small, undersized fish, but he saw one swim by that was, in his best guess, over 3 foot. So there have been a few fish out there. All the bottom fish, not much. Mostly people are just trolling around the area, catching Spanish, having a good time with that. Gotcha. Today would be a lousy day for that, though.
Yeah. Well,
tomorrow would be even lousy, too, because it looks like tomorrow's supposed to be about the same as today, isn't it?
But if the wind allows you, then trolling spoons out there is the way to go?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Troll a spoon or one of your old, not-so-favorite lures. Always a good option, too. Because you always have that one item in your tackle box. You're like, yeah, that's getting a little rough. I don't know what to do about that, and I'm too lazy to change the hooks.
Right. So the ones that are almost garbage, the ones that, you know, you wouldn't pay a quarter for at a yard sale.
Right.
Those are the ones to see if you can catch a Spanish on it.
There you go. Makes perfect sense that way.
Not even worth a lousy quarter. Where were we? Oh, that takes us to our next spot. Gasparilla Sound in the Tailing Flats.
Hey.
Any tailing happening at the Tailing Flats?
Not a lot, but there has been the Spanish mackerel and ladyfish out at the edge in that 4 to 6 feet of water, along with an occasional trout. And then up along the bushes, you've got mostly snook and a few redfish. The snook have been much, much, much better than the redfish, though, down there. And they're hitting cut bait and live bait both. A lot of white bait down in there. Been some schools of thread fins. So guys are kind of catching a mixed barrage of stuff out there. And the puffers have been extremely active down there, too. So if you're throwing some shad tails, be prepared to go through quite a few.
That's always fun. Lots of puffers.
Yes.
And if you're brave enough to not be too worried about the toxins in the skin and in the gonads, then you can have yourself some sea squab.
Funny part is all the years I've heard them called toadfish maybe a half a dozen times, and in the last 6 months, I'll bet you I've heard it at least a dozen times.
Yeah, I've only heard that just toadfish once or twice, but I have heard some people call them blowtoads.
I've heard that once or twice over the years, but, I mean, literally in the last few months, it's been toadfish. I'm like, oh, what you're describing is a pufferfish. Well, yeah, we call them toadfish. I'm like, okay.
But we have a whole other thing that we call a toadfish here.
Completely different species.
It's all
slimy, different animal.
Bottom dweller. It almost looks a little bit like a catfish, but with a big wide mouth full of teeth and no whiskers.
To me, it resembles more like a stonefish than it does anything.
A little bit. Let's take a stonefish and a catfish and hybridize them together.
Good Friday night, huh?
Yep. And then we'll give it an extra big mouth with a fall full of teeth. But, you know, the neat thing about a toadfish is even though they look like a stonefish and people are very wary of handling them, they don't have any poisonous spines or anything like that.
Right.
They really can't do much to hurt you unless they bite you. And even if they bite you, their bite's not as bad as it looks like it would be.
It hurts, though.
It doesn't feel good, but...
That would be the definition of hurt.
But I would much rather be bitten by a toadfish than by a pufferfish, I can tell you that.
This is true.
And people are very cavalier about how they handle pufferfish.
This is true.
You know, but if a toadfish bites you, you'll know you've been bitten.
Yes.
If a pufferfish bites you, everybody will know you've been bitten because you're going to be showing off the missing body part for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know?
Nice little V-cut notch.
Yeah. If he bites you on your fingertip, then you might lose bone, you know? But if he bites you on your arm, you're going to have a divot there forever.
Right. That's true. That'd be a fun little thing to do to people. Here, hold on your arm. Especially if you catch one of those big rabbit fish offshore.
Oh, geez.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I don't think I want to get bitten by a rabbit fish puffer. That would be...
No.
That would be bad.
It would be.
All right. You want to head over to Placida and tell me what's
sure,
going on there?
Absolutely.
Good.
So you got some small mangrove snapper.
Are we talking about the trestle?
The trestle. Pretty much the trestle. Been a few pompano being caught around the trestle and the bridges right there at Boca. Literally a couple of sheep's head. Not much, but a couple. Did I say bonnethead sharks already?
No, not here anyway.
Been some bonnethead sharks. And then there's been some snook at night. And a couple of tarpon have been hooked by some of the shark, quote-unquote, anglers that have been out there at night.
Shark, quote-unquote, anglers?
Yeah. They're all out there. There's guys that are fishing like they're fishing the beach out there. They're using 16 wides. It's like,
really?
What are you going to do? Yeah, a customer brought me a picture. He's like, this guy got all set up and brought out his 16 wide. I said, well, is he fishing for jewfish under a dock? He's like, nope. He put it about 2 feet under a balloon and floated it out. It was probably like a 12-aught reel, but it was a big... conventional reel.
Okay, but what's he going to do if he hooks one in
there? That's what I was thinking.
there's a lot of stuff in there that's going to be a real problem if you're trying to deal with a big shark.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad enough trying to deal with a tarpon in there.
Right.
Forget about hooking a 10-foot shark. Especially a 10-foot shark from a fixed point on land. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, it won't.
I mean, you might hook the fish, but that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah. Yep. And that's what I told the guy. I said, you're better off possibly landing a tarpon from that pier than you are actually one of those sharks that's going to take that bait.
Right.
But just nod your head and agree and just kind of chuckle.
Okie dokie.
A little easier.
Well, yeah, people do all kinds of things. So
mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can argue with them or you can just sit back and watch. Sometimes that's better.
That's easier.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm all about trying to educate, but when people are convinced that they don't need to be educated, then that's fine.
Exactly.
You got two shots here. You can go out there and you can prove all of us wrong, you know, which is a possibility. Mm-hmm. It's happened before. Or you can go out there and you can learn what everybody's already told you.
Yeah.
Those are the only two ways it can go. So,
the hard way is the easier way to learn it.
Yeah, you know, but sometimes I admire people who are hard-headed like that because every now and then, like I said, they do prove us all wrong. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect it this time. You want to move on to the next spot?
Yeah, sure.
Or you want to keep arguing about nothing?
Nothing.
Okay, then we'll go up to Lemon Bay. Stump Pass, Lemon Bay Park, and Red Bug.
Basically, through the whole Stump Pass area, there's been some snook underneath a lot of the docks. Been a handful of trout being caught over the flats, but they've been mostly small and not consistent. And then a couple guys actually caught some whiting off their docks down there. Overall, though, not a whole lot to report.
Now, is that because you're not getting reports, or?
It's because I'm not getting much for reports.
And there's a whole Inglewood Fishing Club up there.
I know. Well, I mean, honestly, Bill Bennett sent me one this morning, but I didn't read it yet. Because he keeps me informed with all that stuff. But half of his anglers lately have been going down to the Placida area, so that's where most of that Placida report came from, was from Bill from the... He's, I guess, the president of the Inglewood Fishing Club.
Gotcha.
Because he sends me at least two reports a week, which is awesome.
All right. Well, then I take back any disparaging comments that I may have made about the Inglewood Fishing Club not giving you reports.
Just tell them to fish in places where there's not fish, like Stump Pass, and give us some information.
Well, at least every now and then fish there. You know?
They probably do and just don't report it because it wasn't worth saying anything. So, nope, we just went down here instead.
Have you heard from anybody fishing the Anger Pier?
One guy was out there snook fishing the other night. He watched two people hook Spanish mackerel right around sunset. He caught no snook. He heard a few fish pop, but could not get anything that night. But he tried for about an hour, and then he's like, okay, I'm done. Which is not super surprising. I would just think there'd be a few more snook cooperating out there right now.
You'd think. Heading northward still, the Venice Jetties and Sharky's Pier.
A lot of Spanish mackerel from both those places. A couple of sheep's head off the jetties. And there's also been a couple of whiting caught there right from the beach there at Sharky's and just south of there at Casperson's Beach. But mainly the Spanish is what most everyone's kind of targeting and having a good time with. One of the few areas where you can catch Spanish with consistency from shore. Everywhere else is just kind of hit or miss. They got to chase the bait in close enough to cast to them.
Now, if you're fishing out here, do you look for any kind of activity? Are you looking for bait fish? Are you looking for mackerel? Or are you just randomly casting out here?
Randomly casting or looking for birds.
Okay. And again, using a heavy spoon, using a jig?
Yes.
Using a rattle trap?
The one thing that's real popular up there off of Sharky's is actually a casting bubble with a spoon. That's like pretty extremely popular up there. That actual little bait shop actually pre-rigs them up for people and sells them that way.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah. If they can get them. I guess it's been very hard to get those, which I understand, because we're having a hard time getting them, too.
Well, it's kind of hard to get everything, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Except for wind. We got plenty of that.
Yeah, wind's easy.
Which brings us to, of course, the Gulf of Mexico bottom fishing and trolling.
Zero, nothing, nada. I got nothing for like 5 days. It's pretty lousy. Yeah, I didn't have anything for your report except for one guy that got out, what, last Tuesday?
Yep.
Yeah, the one and only day where we didn't have gusts of 30.
The day. The only day. All right, we are now to the passes, and we will start with Punarasa.
Nothing.
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 Okay. Redfish Pass.
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, Captiva Pass.
There you go. Now I got something.
All right, what do you got?
Spanish mackerel. Been a few tarpon. A few sharks. And there has been some snook just on the inside and the outside of the pass. Guy got three or four right there when he was down there. He was actually looking for the Spanish mackerel and saw the fish right there on the point on the outside and started throwing his shrimp and caught a couple.
That's cool.
Yeah. This is that time of year where you get lucky enough to be able to sight fish a little bit. Kind of nice. Whether they chew or not is a different ball game, but at least you get to see them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And you can even put on your snorkeling gear, and you can put your face underneath the water and say hi.
Let me think about that one. No.
Well, okay, if you're not Robert, you can do that.
Correct.
Just be cautious because you are dealing with a pass, and passes have a lot of current flow, so don't get so excited saying hi to the fish that you end up getting swept out to sea.
Right.
That's
not fun.
Inconvenient is what that is.
That is not my cup of tea.
All right. How about Boca Grande Pass? What do you got?
Same thing almost. Pretty much Spanish mackerel, a few snook, some mangrove snapper, definitely some tarpon.
Hey, watch me copy
sharks.
Paste.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
it's pretty much the same stuff happening there, except for there are a few more tarpon in there than
there
is Captiva.
I was going to say I need to adjust this a little bit because now I've heard about people saying that there's like lots of tarpon in the pass.
It's varying from day to day, but there's definitely good numbers of fish in there. It's worth the travel down there.
Now, how's our bite?
Like any other thing involving tarpon, it's been hot and cold. But they have been getting them at least, and some guys have been catching them on shrimp.
Well, see, it excites me when you say the bite is hot and cold, because that means that sometimes it's hot.
Yes. So the fish that have been moving up onto the hill have been cooperating a little bit better than the fish that have been moving down into the pass.
And we're using shrimp for them?
Yes.
Live shrimp are the bait of choice. Now, do you think they might eat a fish, though?
I think they'll eat a squirrel fish, possibly a pinfish. And there's been threadies going through there, too, so it wouldn't surprise me if they hit those. Would not surprise me at all.
You think there's any chance here for a bait buster to catch fish?
Possibly. I don't know. Never tried it out there like that because the tide's been always ripping so hard.
Right.
But I would think it might work if you fish it the way they've been using crabs by casting it upstream and letting it pendulum down. That might be an option. Might be a very realistic possibility.
Well, you know, especially when you get out there and the bite is cold.
Right.
You know, you want to do everything that you can to give yourself an opportunity. And it's surprising sometimes that natural baits can get outfished by artificials.
Right.
I mean, most of the time, the conventional wisdom is if you're not catching them on lures, well, switch to bait and you'll start catching them.
Right.
But tarpon are definitely an unconventional fish.
You think?
I do. That's why I said it.
I'm agreeing with you.
I fully back that statement.
Yes.
All right. We're over to Matt Lachey Pass, Indian Field, Smokehouse Bay.
A few redfish down in there. Snook have been starting to do a little bit better that are moving out of those Cape Coral canals. And then there's been a whole bunch of thread fins down there that people have been going down to catch. And even the tarpon have moved in down there. Kind of closer to Matt Lachey on this side of Matt Lachey, the Charlotte Harbor side of Matt Lachey.
The north end?
Yes. And the great thing is, sitting out there, you're seeing these schools of thread fins, and Flipper is just working them something fierce. Which can make the tarpon fishing aspect a little bit tricky, but they aren't as intimidated as other fish are. A little tougher for Flipper to eat a 100-pound tarpon.
It is difficult.
Let alone catch it.
When you look at dolphin teeth and you realize that they're basically pointed pegs as opposed to the razors that sharks carry around in their mouths.
Right.
But, you know, have you heard of anybody actually hooking a dolphin down here?
Several. This year has been horrible.
See, I'd be worried about that. Because as used to feeding on our catches as dolphins have gotten, they're not really afraid of our baits anymore either.
Uh-uh.
And they're not worried that it's got metal stuck in it.
Nope. It used to be they'd grab it sometimes and run with it, but never got up on the hook. Now, I know I'm at a dozen or better this year of people coming in that Flipper ate their entire fish while reeling it in, and they had to break it off.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure you've heard the same thing.
Oh, yeah. We're calling them millennial dolphins.
Yeah. Nice.
That's what we've got.
Nice. I think that has to do with some of the over-harvesting of some of their normal food source.
It definitely does, but it also has to do with them having learned that, you know, we're a great source of food, too.
Yeah,
so.
Millennial. That's nice.
All right. How about Pine Island Sound, Rat and Cat Keys?
Lots of redfish, lots of snook. The redfish are coming on cut bait and crabs, but the snook and a few redfish are coming on white bait and a few on shrimp, but most of those fish down there have really transitioned over to white bait. And then you've got some sharks out on the flats, some tarpon out on the flats, Spanish mackerel scattered throughout that whole area.
Getting them on the flats too, or you gotta get a little deeper?
No, then they're getting them up in 2 feet of water. It's like you thought a puffer fish was hell on your paddle tail. Try it. 18-inch Spanish mackerel. But yeah, it's been good down there. I think that's the best place if you want kind of a good mixed variety of stuff right now.
So how far into the sound do we have to go? I mean, can we just go on the edge of it, or do we have to actually go into the sound itself?
I would go anywhere from Boquilla down to Captiva Rocks.
Okay.
You know, basically, what's that? The top half of it?
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's about where I would be concentrating. It's been pretty good down there in the water. I mean, today it won't be, but the water's been super clear, so some of these guys are sight fishing their snook. Couple of them are seeing redfish up under the bushes, so it's giving them a reason to stop and try. A couple of fly fishermen have been doing good down there. It's definitely a good spot to go.
Yeah.
It's got healthy grass, too.
And I know a lot of people get very worried about driving into Pine Island Sound. They've heard bad things about running aground down there and hard bottom down there, and I get that. But, you know, you just have to be cautious about how you go in. Stay in the channel when you're running on plane, and don't run out into water that you're not familiar with until you've explored it. You know, and sometimes that means, yeah, you get on the trolling motor, and you're going through water that's 6 or 7 feet deep, and it's like, well, why am I on the trolling motor to go through this water? And then all of a sudden, you know, you run into shallow stuff, and it's like, oh, okay, this is why. So I didn't run into that. Now, fortunately, the water's pretty clear right now. So you should be able to see what you're doing down there, but that poses its own problem because water that's 6 feet deep might look like it's 2 feet deep.
I was going to say, it's very much an optical delusion this time of year.
Yep.
Oh, this is fine. Wait a minute. Because it does. It goes from 6 feet to 2 feet right now.
Yep.
And it is very, very deceiving in this clear water.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not like... you know, it's not like the rocks in the Big Bend area where, you know, people are constantly destroying lower units and props. But it's not great to run aground down there. The bottom is a little harder than most of Charlotte Harbor is. So just exercise caution. You'll do fine. And if you're complaining about the long run, well, then I guess you didn't really want to catch fish that much, did you?
Right.
All right. Jug Creek Shoals and Boquilla.
Lots of bait. Some Spanish mackerel. An assortment of little sharks, black nose, black tips, sharp nose, even a few bonnet heads.
Making me write out all these shark names.
I know. Black you just tips, type multiple.
Sharp nose, bonnet heads. Well, I wrote assorted small sharks.
There you go.
You know, which covers it, and I get that, but...
But you're a very, very specific person sometimes.
Well,
you're very detailed oriented.
I like to have a certain level of detail because if I'm the one reading the fishing report, I'd be like, well, what do you mean assorted small sharks? What does that even mean? So, you know, a little bit of detail is good.
It is.
Too much detail is too much.
Yes.
How about Burntstore and Tupine?
Oh, let's see. You got a snook and redfish along the shorelines. And then the other guys have been staying on the outside of the bar chasing those tarpon and just staring at them mostly and just chasing them. A lot of tarpon out there. Tupine to Burntstore. Got quite a few tarpon around. A few incidental cobia as bycatch, which is at least cooperating better than the tarpon are.
Keeper size?
Yeah. Not a lot, but, you know, a few. It's not too bad.
Now, that would definitely be a good consolation prize after watching tarpon all day.
Yeah, it would be.
All right, sliding up to the east side Keys, Cormorant Key, Pirate Harbor area.
Okay. So, basically, from Burntstore up to I'd say 3/4 of the way up to Alligator Creek, tarpon on the outside of the bar, 3 to 6 feet of water. Sitting there, same thing as two pines. They're just laughing at you, flipping you the fin. But there's an abundance of them over there. And then there has been a few cobia on top of the bar also. And then there's been plenty of snook, a few redfish up in the bushes on the other side of the bar. But has been relatively quiet overall that I've been hearing. And it's just weird. Every couple of years, the east side crushes it, and then every now and then it goes to zero, and it's all on the west wall. And it seems like this year, the majority of the better fishing that I'm hearing about anyway has been the west wall, rather than the last couple of years have been the east side. I don't understand it, because they both have the equal amounts of no grass, pretty much, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but there's got to be something that's different that we're not picking up on because, again, we're not fish.
Right.
So, one of these days, I need to learn to speak cobia or redfish or something.
The east side always used to be slightly more productive, and I understood because of the water flow coming in through Boca Grande Pass and cruising up that east side. It'd be more nutrient-rich, cooler water, you know, all that.
Well, and also a totally different flat bar system out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a much wider flat with a lot more grass and a lot more variety in the grass. Where you go over to the west side, and the west side is pretty much turtle grass the whole way down. You don't see too much of the manatee grass or the shoal grass. I mean, it's different now that the grass is mostly missing.
Right.
But, you know, what exactly makes an area more productive than another is a thing that we have tried to figure out for a long time, and the guys who came before us tried to figure it out for a long time, and the guys who came before them tried to figure it out, and the guys who come after us will do the same.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
You know, coming down to exact reasons is sometimes just not possible. That's why we have to do things like fishing reports.
Right.
All right. Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the Skating Rink.
Actually, it's been pretty slow up in there. I got nothing for that whole area. I know one guy was telling me that the other day when I was fishing with him, he said, it's really been hit or miss this whole year, basically, since they opened up that new pass. It's just changed the whole dynamics of it. He said it's not as steady, but I think that also personally coincides with our really warm winter that we had, that's having more of a profound impact on that fishing up there than that pass has.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. That and the lack of grass in the general area.
Yeah.
Those things have all kind of come together.
Yeah, and it's just coincidental and trying to find an excuse other than that.
Buckley Pass is probably the most visible thing to a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, and it was controversial before they put it in, so I could totally see how they'd blame that, but it just doesn't seem big enough to have that kind of impact.
Right.
Then again, could be wrong about that too.
Usually, maybe.
Been wrong about all kinds of things.
Especially when it comes to fishing stuff.
Hey, I'll be wrong about things again.
Yep. This is true.
All right, how about Ponce de Leon Park?
Ponce de Leon, there's been a few guys shark fishing there, actually, and getting a couple of small bull sharks, and even a guy got one that was about 5 foot, which was kind of interesting. And then he got broke off twice, so he decided he needed 100-pound braid on his 5,000 size. I'm not even going to go into the brand of the reel, but either way, it was not going to handle it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you tell him to get a 12-aught instead?
Pretty much.
Like the guys up at Placita?
Yeah, he should get something a little... something with a little bit more backbone would be a wise decision.
Yeah. You know what, though? If I got to hook a big shark from either Ponce or Placita, I'd rather hook it from Ponce.
Yeah, no
doubt. I feel like I've got a better chance of actually catching that fish.
Yep. Maybe so.
Anything else going on up there besides shacks?
Nope. I haven't heard of anything else.
No snooks, no snappers, no jacks.
Not inside Ponce.
No tarpons.
I mean, if you go up inside PGI, are we still including that with the Ponce part?
Or is that the next one? The next one is the PGI canals.
Oh, okay. There we go. That's a little different.
Okay. Then we'll just jump to the next spot.
Jump right to it.
Here we go.
Hopscotch right over to it. Let's see. We got some snook. especially around a lot of those lights at night. A few tarpon of assorted sizes. Had one gentleman said that he had a fish on a tarpon on his light the other night that was probably 80 poundish.
What are they eating?
The teeny tiny tiniest things you can. Itsy weensy little stuff.
So you got to be a fly fisherman.
Pretty much. Throw a little claws or minnow in them. No, a couple guys have got them on storms. A couple guys have got them on live little shrimp. One gentleman's been actually fishing with, like, your suggestion that you mentioned, I think, earlier this winter about crappie minnows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's been doing fairly good. So that's about it. You know, there's been some other stuff like jacks and a few black drum, but not super major going on back there.
Is that lack of effort? Are we seeing more people having headed home? I mean, we haven't had Easter yet. So.
No, but there are a lot more people heading home. It's usually either Easter or the 15th when they all boogie out here because they need to do their taxes.
Gotcha.
So.
All right, that brings us to the Gilchrist Pier.
Gilchrist Pier, nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Not a zero.
Been typing that a lot. My fingers seem to know how to do it on themselves.
Yeah, I know.
By now. Well, don't say it like that. It's not like I'm blaming you.
I know you are. You're just totally blaming me. You gave me crap at the beginning of this. And
yeah, listen, you're the one who said you were in a lousy mood. So
yeah, rightfully so.
Of course I have to give you crap. That's my job.
It's rightfully so.
Okay.
I'll tell you why later.
Yeah, we'll discuss it.
Uh-huh.
Now, we're going to move to the Alligator Creek Reef. I'm not even going to give you all the other names because you're in a bad mood.
There's been a few cobia on it, a few Spanish mackerel, and some sharks. But the bottom fishing has been extremely lousy. We actually went out there the other day to look for tarpon and stopped on it for a couple minutes to see if we could maybe get a cobia. Got nothing, but literally, we were the only boat on it.
Really?
And then we went over to the east side, and it was, mind you, it was a little sporty out there. It was definitely a little lumpy, but I've seen worse days out there, and there's usually five or six boats at least cruising around it or anchored up on it, and zero for 2 hours.
Hmm.
And then as the wind built, we said, you know what, we're done.
Right.
We came in.
We shouldn't be here.
Yeah, we should have reevaluated this first thing this morning, knowing that the wind was going to build even more than it already was.
Yep. You know, there's a missing spot here, the tire reef.
That's because the tire reef really doesn't... There's never hardly anything there.
There's no fish there.
Nope.
We should just have that as a standing element. Tire reef, no fish.
Yeah.
So.
Just drive by the four posts and wave to it and go, yep, that could have been something that turned into nothing.
You know, people ask me about the tire reef less now, though.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 years ago, 8 years ago, people were always constantly asking me about the tire reef. What's this tire reef I see here? Mm-hmm. Gotta be a lot of fish there. It sounds like that'd be a good spot to go catch a grouper.
You would think.
Yep.
Big grouper.
Yeah. Keeper grouper.
Giant.
Yep. Absolutely.
I can kayak to it. I can catch legal size grouper.
Yep. Knock yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
But how about the deep holes, a.k.a. the 20-foot holes?
Been a few tarpon out there, a few sharks. Even been a few, very few, but a few Spanish mackerel working their way out there. And an incidental cobia while people have been drifting around. It's been decent. It's just been so blooming windy. And I did hear that school of black drum has been moving around throughout the entire harbor. So 20-foot holes outside the bar, just keep an eye out for them. Most of them been out in that middle, deeper water, so that's going to be the most realistic area to spot them. But two different people have mentioned that they were probably 500 fish if they had to guess.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you try feeding those schooling black drum if they did show up?
Every now and then they'll take thread fins, they'll take white bait, they'll take a shrimp, they'll take a crab. You just got to throw everything at them. One year they were more hit and cut bait. You took a thread fin and cut it in half, they would eat it. You took a sardine, cut it in half, they would eat it. It was just weird.
So basically, whatever kind of natural bait you've got.
Pretty much.
Give it a shot and see what happens.
Yes, it's worth trying.
Okay. Not too many black drum in the freshwater canals, creeks, ponds, and lakes, but there is...
bass. Bass has been the big thing besides tilapia and Mayan cichlids. The bass guys, most of them are catching them on shiners. Still been selling a few spinner baits and a few worms and crayfish imitations. But okay. Shiners have been the main answer there.
Okay. You know, the tilapia are in full spawn mode.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that this is the time of year when we can start more reliably catching them on artificials.
Right.
So.
Little beetle spins and stuff like that.
It don't even necessarily have to be little. I mean, some of these tilapia are good size. I've been seeing some personally that are up to about 16, 18 inches. But I've seen some on Facebook that are probably 4 and 5 pound fish.
Really?
And, you know, fish that size, they'll take a surprisingly large bait. A full-size spinner bait is nothing for them.
Right.
So.
That's pretty interesting. It's not a bad thing.
Nope, not at all.
And they're good eating.
Yeah, they are. And there's no bagger size limit, so, you know, take whatever you want. It's a fish that doesn't really belong here in the first place.
Right.
So...
that is true.
But not so much with the native panfish?
No. I haven't heard anything. That's going to make for an interesting column for you, or actually Ralph Allen would probably be one to talk to about that.
No?
Yeah. Don't you think he'd have some insight on that one?
He might have. I have to ask him.
You have to get right on that.
Okay. That brings us to the tarpon reports.
Okay. Tarpon reports, basically, we covered it all.
Well, I know we did.
Oh, that's right. It's a separate
it's
section,
it's a separate
too.
Piece. And
okay.
You have the where it says the tarpon reports, and then we fill it in.
All right.
You want me to just go in and copy-paste them out of there, or do you want me to tell me again?
I'll just tell you again.
Okay. It's easier.
So they're on the outside of the bar on the east and west wall. Not cooperating very well, but they are there. The 20-foot holes, they are in a little bit, but not great numbers. You're better... numbers of feeding fish seem to be down in Boca Grand Pass right now and along the intercoastal down through, I'm sure all the way down past Captiva to Sanibel. I just haven't heard anything below Captiva on them. And I think every day is going to get better and better with fish moving in, but I think it's going to get better and better out along the beaches and the passes, and I think up inside here we'll have fewer and fewer fish over the next... couple of weeks, I would guess. But yeah, go out there, thread fins, bait busters. A couple guys have got them on shad tails. Not too many people carrying tarpon crabs yet, because tarpon crabs are always hard to get this time of year during the drought. But if you can find any, it's worth a try.
Yeah.
And the big sharks are starting to show up out there.
You know, it's a lot easier to find a shrimp.
Yes.
I mean, really. Why kill yourself trying to get little crabs when, you know, the shrimp are running and they're happy to eat those?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I think that kind of wraps up the report.
Yeah, it kind of does.
So... hold on here. Let me see if I can find my music.
No. People can live without that.
Yeah. But it's your favorite.
It's your favorite. Yeah, I have nothing
it's
to
not
do.
My favorite. Oh, there we go. There it is. There's your favorite song.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Prop you up beside the jukebox. That's terrible. All right, guys. This wraps up our report. We have been Captain Josh and, of course, Robert sitting over here next to me. We are going to attempt to do another report for you next Thursday. We'll see how that goes. That is our plan, to do one each and every single week. And we'll post them right here on the Fish and Franks webpage. And until we see you next time, Robert, say goodnight.
Goodnight, Robert.